Speaking of new life, we are going to have a baptism this morning. Jonathan, if you want to come on up. There's no real clear picture of salvation than baptism. There's no real clear picture. You know, in this church, we don't believe that baptism has anything to do with your salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism won't save Jonathan. He's already done that. He's asked Jesus into his heart. And really what this is his proclamation to the world that, yes, I know Jesus. So it's just a beautiful thing. I mean, my goodness, this morning, if we, with the band and how they've blessed us and worship together, and then this, that's probably enough church. But I've worked hard on this message, so we're going to go through Ephesians 2. So, Jonathan, why don't you come on up here a second and tell us why you want to get baptized. I mean, you didn't put those shorts on for nothing. And Lee, could we get this microphone? Just maybe.
Oh, man. Hi, my name's Jonathan, and I got saved 2 years ago. My life was screwed up. I was into drugs and doing a lot of things that were against God. I grew up in a religious background, so everything about God really turned me away. I was like, it was just religion. It wasn't any personal relationship with God. So when I hit rock bottom and I got caught with drugs with my parents and all these things, everything just came crashing down, and I didn't have any hope. And I remember that Jesus said that he would clean me, you know, cleanse me completely from all my sins, and that's what I needed. I needed someone to forgive me completely. And I was there by myself, and I cried, hey, man, Jesus, if you're real, do whatever it takes to change my life. And he slowly did. I started reading the Bible. I didn't get connected with anyone, but I started listening to podcasts online and all these things. And then me and she used to be my girlfriend, my wife over there, Gracie. yes, and we had a kid, too, so we're like teen pregnancy and all these things. My life is screwed up, right? But God's good, and we found the Rock Church, and we started slowly going, and yeah, God has slowly like changed my life, you know. And now I'm trying to be like the best father that I could be, the best leader I could be, and thanks to Jesus Christ, He's changed my life, and that's why I'm gonna get baptized.
Yeah. That's good, man. Let's go over and do it, brother. Just speak nice and loud. Okay. Oh, you got a microphone.
Yeah.
Want me to
Hello.
Hold it?
Check.
Don't dip it in the water, okay?
Okay, Matt.
Want me to hold it?
Yeah, that would be good.
Go ahead and dunk him.
Okay.
All right. See it before it gets wet.
Wait, I got a kneel?
Go ahead and sit on your bottom.
Oh. Yeah, or on your bottom.
And scooch up so you don't whack your head.
Yeah.
On your bottom.
All right, Jonathan, yes. Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Savior?
Yes, I have.
By this good confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Together here now. Why don't Justin, you go ahead and let's say a prayer for
okay.
Jonathan together and lay hands on him and thank God.
Precious Father, we just lift Jonathan up to you right now and just thank you so much for this sermon, this picture of what you did for us, God. That you died and you went down into the grave and came back to life a new person. That's what you do to each one of us, God, when we ask you into our lives. And that's the picture that you give us right now through Jonathan. We thank you for Jonathan, God. I pray you just work through his life and his family and his kids and that he can be a glory to you, Lord. That's the purpose, that we live our lives for you, dead to ourselves, and show who you are, Jesus, make you famous. And I just pray that for John in his life. You make a make him a servant for you and a good father, good leader in his family, Lord God. And you're doing that. You're amazing, God. Thank you so much for these examples and these pictures. It just builds all our faith, God. And you are good, and we love you. And I say this in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen.
There's just not a better opening to a sermon than that. God is so kind. He's so good to us. If my son or daughter is in here, could you get me a cup of water, please? I'd appreciate that. So, all right. Kids are dismissed. Go to your Sunday schools. Sunday school, our children's church is just as important as the rest of us to stay in here. So you need to know that the teachers spend time preparing, and we work hard to have just a special service for these kids as well. So what a blessing. That's growing as well. So, and speaking of that, we're going to move some of our stuff down into the parking garage. You're a blessing, son. Thank you. And so down below, right below this service, whether you realize it or not, there's a parking garage. An old parking garage with columns and everything else that looks just like a parking garage. But anyway, we're going to get, it's the same size as this, our big room here as a sanctuary. We're going to get 2/3 of that. So we get a pretty good space for our kids' stuff down below there. And we're going to fix it up to look like an old city. Like when the kids walk down in there, it'll be like old Jerusalem or something. And we're going to make, you know, some mock-up buildings with maybe little roofs and straw and all that kind of stuff and carts and just make it cool. And there'll be a big open space that'll be like a city square. And that's where the kids will play. And that'll be like our game area. And then we'll take one room and we'll take and build one room, and that'll be our new Garden of Eden and Creator Studio. So we're excited about getting to work on that. We need help. So if you want to help with that, please get a hold of me. And we're going to get her done. So the clock's ticking. Some of the guys, Austin and Kim and Colin, were helping move some of the stuff out of there yesterday. So it's starting. So with that, let's kind of begin with our study, Ephesians. The book of Ephesians actually has often been called the queen of the epistles. Paul's letter to these people in Ephesus and really all of Asia when he wrote this letter, and God has used it really for all of us as well. And he wrote this letter to the saints. Remember last week I kind of set the stage a little bit on the city of Ephesus, and I talked about this city being a port city, and it was a huge city of commerce, where second largest city next to Rome, and it's just kind of a melting pot where a lot of people would come to this city of Ephesus. One thing that they kind of struggled with was the port started filling up with silt from the rivers that flew down through the country. The port started filling up with silt, so they had to come up with other ways to bring commerce into the city. And often in economic crisis, we do. We have to figure out other ways. And remember, not only was this temple, the Temple of Artemis, a big important part of the city because it was, but also it brought money into the city. People would come from all over the place to come to this temple, and there were many people employed in even making like little silver replicas of the city, of the temple. I mean, and so when Paul comes along, he comes along and his letter that he writes is saying that this temple God is not a God at all. That this is a religious thing that is not God. So Paul's part of the way, and it's really counterculture. Let me tell you what, there was some friction there. But the way God was all kinds of things were happening. Lots of people getting saved. Churches were starting. It was an exciting time in the church, without a doubt. Paul writes this letter, and he's actually in prison. Let's kind of look here. I just want to kind of talk. This first part of Ephesians right here is kind of like drinking water from a fire hose. I kind of really wanted to give you a visual and a little comic relief here. But so drinking water from a fire hose. I like that one water drinking fountain there. Gosh, you guys are not playing into my humor. Nobody's laughing. This is funny. Water from a fire hose? Come on. Okay, anyway. When Paul kicks off our letter to the Ephesians, he writes, certainly last week we talked about the first two verses, greeting, and just established his authority, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and then to the saints in Ephesus, to you, to me, to the believer. This letter is written to the believer. So today, you know, if you're a believer, you're going to understand some of this. If you're not a believer, you won't understand it like a believer. But that's fine. God's seeking you. God's after you anyway. And hopefully one day you will become a believer. But what he does, this is the longest sentence as he kicks off. We're going to finish off chapter 1. The longest sentence in the Bible. If you go back to the original Greek, it just went on and on and on and on. And my personal opinion is Paul has some things to say, and he wants to get after it. And so this section of Scripture is just chock full of truth, and there's no way we're going to be able to dissect it and pick it apart in the manner that it deserves. But I'm going to go through this section of Scripture. I'm going to make 7 points. I'll go through, and I'll read the whole section first, and then we'll go back through, and we'll just pick out 7 points that I see in these different verses. And really, it's Ephesians light, because we just can't. There is so much in the Queen of the Epistles, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So I'm just going to start off, and I'm going to read. I'm going to be reading quite a bit today, so bear with me, and please try to track with me, because there's just there's life-changing doctrine and truth. I mean, there is. This book has gripped me, and I hope it grips you as well, because if you get this, oh my, it can help you so much to walk with the Lord. So let's pray. God, I just pray to you and ask you to help me. Help me even read your truth. Help me to vocalize. Help me to communicate your heart, your words, your thoughts, God. Oh my, you're God. We are not. We depend on your word and the authority of it. This morning, God, I come under that authority. We all do. We submit to you, ask you to teach us, God. You said all scripture is God-breathed. And this is God-breathed. God, so help us to just look at it carefully and get the things that you want us to get, God. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So here we go. I'll just kind of read through this. Remember, this is just one sentence. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and all understanding. And it continues on. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Oh my goodness! That section of scripture just, oh man. There's just some truths in here that we got to look at. There are. Like I said, I'm going to just make 7 points, we're skimming over a lot of stuff, but we'll just pull these 7 points out, the blessing. Okay, in verse 3, praise be, I'm going to repeat it again, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh boy, did you get that? Do you hear that? Saint, believer, are you hearing this? Alone is a verse that can rock your world if you really understand what Paul is writing here. What is he writing here? He says, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Believer, that's you. You've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. That's everything. God says, you have it all, believer. You're in. You have everything that you need. I have everything that I need. Nothing should knock me off my rocker. I have it all. I believe this stuff. I do. With all of my heart. I hope you do too. You have everything. I have everything I need. So do you. And this heavenly realms that he talks about here, Paul writes, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms, we think, well, what's the heavenly realms? It must be heavenly somewhere out there. I don't know what heavenly realms is anyway. So you can say that all day long and it just doesn't connect with me. What is heavenly realms? Well, it's not this outer space thing out there. It's not. So no, in the heavenly realms, let me just read this to you, commentary, is a reference to the invisible realities of our life now. Okay, so it's now. It's showtime now. This is not something off in outer space. These realities certainly reach on into eternity, but they are something to be experienced now in your inner life, your thought life, where you feel conflict and pressure, struggle and disaster. That is part of the heavenlies. It is where we are exposed to the attack of the principalities and powers that are mentioned in chapter 6, those dark spirits in high places who get to us and depress us and frighten us and make us anxious or hostile. The heavenlies is not only the realm of conflict, but also where God can release us and deliver us, where the Spirit of God reaches us at the seat of our intellect, emotions, and our will. It is the realm of those deep, surging urges that rise within us and create either a restlessness or a sense of peace, depending on the source from which they come. So don't read this as though it were something in space somewhere. These blessings are yours in your inner experience now if you are in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's now. That's the stuff that don't even know how to explain. There is an enemy. And yeah, he can corner me. I can be confused. That's real. That's we're not making that up. That happens. There is an enemy. And there is a king. There is a God. There is a Holy Spirit that helps us in the fight. God fights for us. He fights for us. He does. I'm convinced of it. But oftentimes, we miss it. The spiritual blessing, sometimes we think it's in the heavenlies out there somewhere that we can't connect to it. We can't latch onto it. We can't delve into it. We can't live in it. Why is that? We just wrestle with it. I want to just read a couple sermon stories here that I got offline that I think are pretty good. Right beneath our feet. The Mount Morgan gold mine in Queensland, Australia, is one of the richest in the world. For many years, though, the original landowners lived in deep poverty on the mountain's barren surface. Even though the vast wealth was out of sight, it was beneath their feet at all the time. Many Christians live in a similar situation. They plod along and struggle through their spiritual lives, laboring every step of the way. They're unaware of the vast riches God has promised them. and therefore do not claim them. Grace, forgiveness, strength, wisdom, direction, the power to resist temptation, reconciliation, protection, lightened burdens, all these riches and many more are ours. But how do we become aware of them and claim them? The answer is prayerfully read the Bible and pay close attention when the Word of God is preached or taught. Always comes back to that. Always comes back to that. Pay attention to God speaking to you. Read His Word as if He's speaking to you, as if it's your authority, as if you're going to do what it says. It always comes back to that. He wants the best for you. Don't push Him away. I don't believe that. I don't see that. I don't understand that. It's still the truth. It's still your authority. Do you believe it or not? Man, I grapple with this sometimes. But when I'm submitted, when I'm surrendered, when I in faith, I'm being taught, things just seem to line up better for me. Oh, my. And I see it time after time. I talk to so many people. All of us struggle with this. All of us do. You're not alone in this. You're not alone. There is a battle that goes on in that heavenly realm, without a doubt, that we don't see, but it is there. Trust me, it is there. Here's another good little sermon enhancer. When a timid old lady approached the first desk she saw in an insurance office in Minneapolis, she was asked what she wanted. With trembling hands, she took from her well-worn purse an old policy and explained regretfully that she was unable to meet the current premium. She explained that it was hard for her to get work and that what little she did was hardly enough to clothe, feed her, and keep a roof over her head. After quick investigation, the clerk recognized that the policy was very valuable. He warned the old lady that she was making an unwise move to stop payment. Did not her husband have anything to say? It was his policy made out to her benefit, he explained. My husband, oh my, he has been dead for 3 years, she remarked sadly. Immediately, the company officials went into action. They soon discovered that she was indeed telling the truth. What she didn't understand was that the policy was her husband's and that she was the beneficiary at his death. They were thus obligated to refund the overpaid premiums plus the full amount for which the husband had insured his life in her favor. The money was sufficient to keep her in comfort for the rest of her life. The greatest life insurance policy of all time came due when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Thousands of people continue trying to make payments on their own salvation, while all they need to do is accept the immeasurable gift that is theirs through the death and resurrection of our Savior. To become the beneficiary of God's life insurance policy, we need simply to acknowledge our need as sinners and thank Him for the gift of His only begotten Son, who died on the cross and rose again, that we might have God's forgiveness. Oh my goodness. Let's look at the next point, the next verses, the chosen. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. These verses are just so chock full of love. He chose us. We are chosen, believer. You are chosen. And if you don't believe yet, He is seeking you. Believe that. He chose us, believer. He chose us, Christian. It wasn't an accident to be holy and blameless. Incredible. That's what He wants for you and me. He takes us and sets us on a course to be holy and blameless. Thank you, Lord. And this predestinated, you know, we hear that word and we think, oh my, that's so, are we fearful of that word? Does it sound cold, formidable, and theological? Not so. If we understand its meaning in relation to God's purpose for his chosen ones, the word means to mark out the boundaries beforehand. That's what it means, to mark out the boundaries beforehand. It indicates God's next step in his gracious plan for those whom he has chosen. God does have a plan for you and for me. It's another good verse in Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So Christians, according to Paul, there ought to be fruit from our lives. Put these on. I mean, this is, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we got to clothe ourselves, Paul says, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We have to strive for that. Just like a welcome jacket. I have a leather jacket that I really like. And when it's cold and I put it on, it's like, oh, I'm glad I have my jacket on. This is my jacket. It feels good. And I the other day, I even kind of freaked out because I couldn't find it. And everybody says, that is your jacket. And I'm like, oh, well, good. But it's put it on. Clothe yourself. Have this be a part of who you are. We can all grow in these areas. I stand here convicted. And I hope you're convicted. Well, this is God's word, okay, period. It's his word is our authority. He's saying, clothe yourself, put it on, do it. Put it on, clothe yourself, live it, be it, act it, step into it. That's what he's saying to us. Let's move on. The blood. Okay, we're at verses 7 and 8 in Ephesians chapter 1. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Redemption through his blood. See, a sacrifice had to be made for the sins of the world. Remember in the Old Testament we read about blood over the doorpost. There had to be blood to protect God's people. Blood had to be shed. The perfect sacrifice had to happen for our redemption. And it did happen. The sacrifice did happen. And our sins were atoned for where? On the cross. Paid in full. Jesus paid in full for our sins. And that's more than a one-time thing. That's everybody. That includes you. If you know Jesus, he's writing to believers. So he's saying, you who believe, this is true right now. And most of us in here are in that camp. The blood had to be spilled, and it was. There was a perfect sacrifice. That sacrifice was Jesus. It did pay the penalty. Jesus is God in the flesh. And he came, and he took care of business. When Jesus breathed his last, it is finished. His blood was enough. Sin was atoned for on the cross, in the crucifixion, in the death, in the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, completely. And he rose from the dead. That really happened. And it ought to change the way you and I think. And we ought to be telling people about it. Because we're holy and blameless now, those of us that believe. We're set on a course. You say, well, I can't do that. No, but God can through you. Such beautiful scriptures. Here's another verse in Hebrews. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. Cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. See, the more we comprehend the gospel, the more we internalize it, the more it's part of our life, the more we, with the Spirit of God living inside of us, we're changing. It all starts to make sense that we were called to serve God. That's what this whole thing means. That's why we have church. This is God's vehicle to reach the world. That's the whole purpose of creation. The mystery unveiled. Remember last week we talked about that unveiling of the mystery. Like a work of art that you'd never seen before, when that veil's pulled back, that sheen, that white sheen, is just, oh, Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And there it is. Oh, my. Jesus. So good. So good. His blood had to be spilled for you and for me. I'm so thankful for that, that he went through with it. And he is the head. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. See, the head? Jesus is the Christ. It's a mystery. He's the awaited Messiah the Jews so desperately wanted to see. Jesus showed up. He's unveiled the mystery as Christ. And he's the head. And we're the body. He's the head. He's in charge. And we're the body. We're all different parts. Bill Young so graciously shared this in his study on the Corinthians that we saw Friday night. We're the body. And it's not just the Rock Church. It's all who believe. It's all the churches. It's a Calvary down the road. It's other churches. We're comprised of the body. You might be a knee, or you might be another part of the body, but you and I are pulled together. The Rock Church is part of God's body. And he, Jesus, God, is the head. But all of us are called to be part of that. That's what's going on here. We're being put into a body. And that's the church. That's a beautiful part of a church. You need to be in a church. You need to be a part of a church. I need to be a part of a church. It's not just a good idea. It's God's idea. It's protection for you. It's protection for me. It's life for you. It's life for me. That's where church happens. God gets us involved, and we grow, and we learn, and we invite others into this body. And it's just incredible. I'm so thankful. I'm part of this church. I am. God is just so good to put me in with you guys. Don't miss out on what God has. Be a part of the local church. It's God's vehicle. It's what he has for your life. It's his intention. And Paul understands that. And Paul writes the letter to the Ephesians, to Ephesus, to the Asians, to the known world, to the believers. You're in it. Stay in it. Grow. Follow the head. So good. The glory. Point 5. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. Of his glory. Did you know that you were created to bring God glory? We were, you and I, we were created to bring God glory. And there's a plan in this crazy world. And even though we don't comprehend it much of the time, Christ unveiled the mystery. And we're called, we were created to glorify God. Now listen to this. Glory culminates in the changing of the bodies of the saints. You and I, we're the saints, we're the believers, who he's talking about. to the likeness of their glorified Lord. Oh my. So, you and I, glory culminates in the changing of the bodies of the saints to the likeness of their glorified Lord. You and I, somehow in this glorious, incredible metamorphosis, is just way behind my head. The more I think about it, I just, oh, I better stop thinking about that. It's just like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God is cleaning me up through this whole crazy life. He's refining me. And there's hard things that I need to go through that are good for me. I just thank you, Lord. You're the perfect Father. There's no way you can change me to be like you unless I go through some things. There's no way this dirt clod could be like you unless you're doing it. Oh, that's right. You're God. Nothing's impossible for you. This is beyond my thought life. It's you, God. You do it. I surrender. I submit. I need you. I want you. You lead me. You guide me. You tell me. You whisper to me. Whisper to me. You hug me. You show me things. You show me things, God, that no one else can. Only you do. But you do. Thank you. That's our God. So good. He deserves all the glory. He wants it. That's why he started this whole crazy thing, to glorify himself. We're not God. And remember that. He is. It's his thing. He's the head. It's another verse to enhance that. But our citizenship, okay, is in heaven. Hallelujah. To live as... But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's a promise, believer. That's a promise. You know what? Everybody together, smile together. That's good. Most of you are kind of smiling. You ought to be after we read that. That's enough. That's enough. You don't need anything else today. That's enough. That's enough. But we got a little more here, because this verse, oh, this is it. This has gripped me. This has changed my life. This has sent me on a different course. I just want you to get this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You know, I rarely will take any words from Scripture and highlight them, but I did this time. I just need to know I did that. It's not like that in the Bible. But in my emotion and my expression of reading this, having believed, that's me. That's me. That's you, believer. Truth be told, right here. This is where we got the title for today's sermon. Sealed. You're sealed, Christian. Holy Spirit has come into you. God has sealed you. You are good to go. I'm good to go. You know, it doesn't intimidate me to have cancer, because if I was to die, I know where I'm going. And that's a good thing. I'm sealed. You are. And I love that the envelope for the Promises CD. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you look at it, there's an envelope. They're sealed. And in the day, the kings would seal, and oftentimes it would be actually a ring. They would have a signet ring, and they would write something and put it in the envelope, and then they'd seal it. They have a glob of stuff, and they'd seal it. And that wasn't to be open. If it was in any way jeopardized or opened, everyone would know that was open. But when you got it and it was sealed, you'd say, oh, this is from the king. This is from somebody of authority. And it's untouched. It's untouched. And God says, that's you. You are sealed until I come back. You're taken care of. You are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I hope you understand that today. I hope you, Christian, believe that today. I believe it. I do. You know, Jesus said, and I believe this, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. When he said that, he meant it. He meant that all authority had been given to Jesus. Jesus is God. All authority. And you and I come under that authority. These words are true. Having believed it guarantees our inheritance. Our inheritance, what is our inheritance? Eternal life. Sealed, guaranteed eternal life. It's guaranteed. It's done. It's guaranteed. It will happen. It's a promise from God. God keeps every single promise. God is a promise keeper. It will happen. And as believers, that ought to change the way we walk through today, our life. You believe it or not? Do I believe it or not? We need to. We need to understand these scriptures. They're so vitally important to our faith. I would encourage you, as we go through this book of Ephesians, that you read it at home. You read it backward and forward. You read it all at once. You read it one verse at a time. You read it in four different translations. You read it, and you read it, and you meditate on it. And you chew on it and see what God might do with your life. Once you get on the train, get on with Jesus, you understand it, and you're walking in faith, things are going to happen around here. And they are, and I've seen it for years and years. God's church. And what can happen when he really gets a hold of us? That sealed Holy Spirit really starts to move. It's happening at our church for sure. I see it. I see God at work in your lives. I see it in your life, Jonathan. We witnessed it today in baptism. We did. We witnessed it today. Don't take that lightly. That happened today. 2 years ago, Jesus sealed his spirit in that man. And there's a change going on. And God is working in his life to make him more like Christ. You're going to be thankful for that, Gracie. That God's doing that in that man's life. And he's doing it in yours and my life too. It's so good. Well, I'm going to finish off like Paul did with the prayer. And I don't know, sometimes good or bad, when bad things happen to me or even when good things happen to me. I remember when Caleb proposed to Kelsey, I just wanted to pray. It's like, yeah, we need to pray. Thank God for that. Woo! I just want to pray. And I've had hard things happen before. And just, you know, I worked up in Deer Valley in a construction site when 9/11 happened. I had a bunch of apprentices and guys that worked for me. And everybody just reacted in different ways emotionally when we heard about it. And some guys, this one particular guy was in the military. He was just freaking out. I thought he wanted to go get in it. I remember just one by one, you know what? Let's just pray. I don't know if you have faith or not, but I need to pray. So pray with me. Let's pray, because that's one thing we can do right now, standing here, is pray. And I just think when Paul, he comes through with this incredible, profound, deep doctrine and truth that we find in that first part of Ephesians. Oh my goodness, pick that apart. You could spend the rest of your life right there. He gets to this. And then he just like, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray for you. And that's what the rest of this is. And then we're going to just pray and end with this prayer. I recommend you implement this in your prayer life. Such good prayers from that man. For this reason, chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about you, your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What a good prayer. I just continue on, God. I just thank you for that prayer. Thank you, God. We pray to you. Thank you for this letter. Thank you for your truth, for your word, for your Bible. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, for your death on the cross for me. You're so good. You're so kind. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Thank you for the sealed spirit that lives inside me. Your Holy Spirit is available, that power. God will help me deal with decisions today. It'll help me deal with my emotions today. Thank you. You just haven't left us to figure it out on our own. You're right here with us to show us and to direct us. May we never turn away from you, God. Everybody in here, may we always run to you. May we not try to figure out things on our own. God, we need you. We need you today. Thank you for your word. It's available. Help us to be diligent to run to you for our daily bread. God, for our daily bread. Don't let us try to be tempted to walk on our own apart from you. God, we need you in this life and the one to come. And your promises are that you will take care of us. You said no harm befalls the righteous. And I claim that promise right now, God. No harm befalls the righteous. Thank you for that. I believe it. It is true. It's your promise to us. We just praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What a good study, this book of Ephesians. Next week, we'll go, the title will be The Redeemed. We'll go on into chapter 2. Looking forward to that. And I am looking forward to worshiping with the band again for a couple more songs.